I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Union Avenue Opera closes its season with the conclusion of Wagner's Ring Cycle, and later in the hour we're going to talk it over with director Karen Coe Miller, soprano Alexandra Lobianco, and tenor Clay Hilly. We'll also meet watercolor artist Marilyn Bradley. Her new book, Once Upon a Time in St. Louis, features her paintings, which depict memorable St. Louis locations. It's a project 50 years in the making. And next week, Insight Theater Company opens a run of Rebecca Gilman's play, Spinning into Butter. And here with the preview, please welcome director Trish Brown, actor John Contini, and actress Jenny Ryan. Welcome to you all.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have not seen this play. I have not read this play. But from what I've read about it, it seems to be a work designed to begin a dialogue as opposed to expressing a point of view. Trish, would that be correct?
I think that's a perfect way to describe it, Steve. This play, to us, is meant to open that dialogue about not only racism, but personal prejudices, perhaps about ageism, about gender, about classism, all kinds of things that might have been held as sort of preconceived notions that we've developed over the years about other people. So I think that that's, you've hit it right on the head with what this play is about.
I think it's a chance also for everyone to give themselves a little self-examination and maybe come along a few self-discoveries about the prejudices that we carry in ourselves.
Well, reading between the lines, I think you're making the point that no matter how open-minded we think we might be a little biased in some little dark corners or something?
You hit it right on the head there. I think so, too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, any thoughts?
I agree. I mean, I think that this is an opportunity for everyone to take a deep breath and really look inside themselves and see where we have our prejudices.
And obviously, I guess the idea to do this reflects the conversations people are having now about this topic.
I think it's very timely. Yeah. It's very good that Insight is bringing this up right now, especially not only in our community in St. Louis, but across the country.
To provide a little insight, I guess, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, playwright Rebecca Gilman, I think, grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, that was such an important player in the civil rights movement for more than one reason. Mm-hmm. So do you think her growing up there plays a part in what she's done on stage?
I think that that's probably a big influence in what brought this play about. This actually comes, though, from an incident. She went to Middlebury College in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and there was actually an incident, as just like in our play, that she based a lot of this material upon. So I think it's something that's been living with her for a long time that she wanted to examine.
Jenny, John, what does the title of the play mean? Spinning into Butter.
I'll let John answer because he gives the answer in the play.
But I don't want to give too much away either. But the quote of spinning into butter, if you're familiar with any children's literature, you probably are familiar with the story of Little Black Sambo. Mm-hmm. And the quote of spinning into butter comes from that story. Now, what exactly how that is revealed in the play is what I don't want to give away right now. But there is a moment when all that will be explained.
All right. Well, Jenny, you play Sarah Daniels.
That's right.
Tell me who she is.
Sarah Daniels is the Dean of Students at Belmont, and she is a person who is just she views herself as someone who wants to do the right thing. She wants to help people. She wants to be a good person, and she is faced with learning and accepting some things about herself that aren't necessarily what we would characterize as good or right.
I think the entire play occurs in her office?
Right. Yes, it does.
Oh, for a five-week period.
Right.
How does the play begin?
The play begins with Sarah calling a student into her office in order to give him a scholarship. And he is a student of Puerto Rican descent, and she finds him, you know, an exceptional student and wants to offer him money that's specifically designed to help out a minority student. And that is where she starts getting in trouble.
But we go into it. She's an educator, right? Probably considers herself open-minded.
Absolutely.
And, right?
Yep. She would call herself progressive and liberal.
John.
Yes.
Your character is Burton Strauss. Who is he?
I guess we could classify him as a bit of the antagonist for Sarah. He's a bit of a pompous. He's the dean of humanities.
Sarah's boss? Or?
Not really her boss, no. But just certainly does not see her as an equal. Certainly sees himself as better than her. He's a bit on the pompous
side. Because he's a man?
Well, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. And the fact that he considers himself so liberal and so modern, and he finds a few things out about himself that he wasn't aware of during the course of the play. But he, I think it's his antagonism towards Sarah that I find most interesting about the character. Because I think besides being against her, I think he's probably feels a little intimidated by her as well. And although he would never admit it and would never show it.
Well, it sounds like Sarah might not like this guy.
Putting it
that is an understatement.
What's interesting about it, too, though, is that because of the fact that this play so brilliantly reveals human nature, there's a great deal of humor in it that largely comes from Burton Strauss, from his character, that just sort of pops out because he's so honest and so unaware of his own foibles.
He doesn't know how it sounds to other people. But
exactly.
He's
open mouth, insert foot.
Uh-huh,
yes.
Right.
He's very good at that.
Yes.
Tell me about young Simon. How does he enter the picture?
Well, young Simon is an interesting character because we actually never see him on the stage, which is an interesting convention that Rebecca Gilman has chosen to use. And it's explained a little bit more in some dialogue later about the fact that we really can't understand Simon because Simon isn't here. And she purposely did that in order to make the point that we can't assume to judge or understand anyone else's experience if we haven't even had a conversation with them or had any kind of dialogue about who they are.
But Simon is a black kid who appears to maybe be the target of harassment because of his race?
That is correct. Yes, he is the target. He begins receiving racist notes that are posted on his door, and that's what sort of starts the dramatic action moving forward.
Sarah must be appalled by this, right?
Absolutely. And even more than appalled by the incident itself, she is dumbfounded at the actions of the other deans, which is to swirl around and make a big public forum.
Burton would be one of those people?
Exactly. And therefore not consider Simon himself as an individual who may be hurting and struggling.
When I'm thinking about the storyline you've just described, are there parallels here locally we could that you're relating to?
I think that we may not have as a cast have talked overtly about that, but I think it would be hard to miss the fact that a lot of what's going on in this play is exactly what has been going on in our community.
So we have reoccurring themes of objectification, political correctness.
Yes, it's exploring themes about things that are not necessarily blatant racism, like we might think of, you know, where it's directed specifically. That's in the play, obviously, but there are also other things about more subtle forms of racism, like what you've named, also tokenism, you know, giving people something because they're a certain race.
Insight Theater Company presents Spinning Into Butter, which is going to open next Thursday. We're talking to director Trish Brown and actors John Contini and Jenny Ryan. And Jenny, you said your character sort of discovers things about herself. So here she is. She's an educator. She wants to help people. She considers herself open-minded. What happens, without being too specific, that makes her maybe realize she's not where she wants to be?
I think that what happens is there are a couple of things. The scholarship is an issue, and then Simon and his continual harassment is an issue for her that reminds her of her own past struggles with trying to sort out
how she feels
about things.
Do you mean that she thinks he's being legitimately harassed or she thinks he's overreacting?
Oh, no, no, no. She thinks he's being legitimately harassed. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think that trying to figure out how to best help him and being unable to help him.
Can you give me some kind of clue, though? What, and I know you don't want to be too specific, what she's really having a problem with in her head, with herself?
She struggles with her own prejudices.
That she didn't realize she had. She didn't realize she had.
She knew she had.
Buried
down
deep.
She had tucked away, and they come bubbling back up, and she has to look at it all over again.
Does that bother her?
Oh yeah, just a little.
A lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I think the play really brings out different forms of prejudice and different reasons for prejudice. And I think Sarah is the one character who reveals probably a prejudice that is very common in a lot of people that stems just from fear. Being on a subway or on a bus and immediately pegging people as certain types.
Seeing somebody looks like somebody she saw on the news.
Right, right. And you're afraid, and suddenly you're afraid, and then she realizes that that turns into a prejudice. And that's a weakness that none of us want to admit, and it really affects her, I think, greatly.
Sounds like Burton, though, doesn't do that kind of inner searching, does he?
Well, not a whole lot. Other people search for him and usually point it out to him, and then when he sees it and realizes, oh, my God, people don't criticize me like this normally. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be treated this way. So it's more of an outward thing for him.
Trisha, are there other key members of the cast, other key players?
Yes, we have another student in the show named Greg, who is also presenting sort of another form of privilege and attitude that comes forward, and he actually has a nice transformation. Then we have Sarah's boyfriend in the show, I guess we could call him that, Ross, who's played by John O'Hagan, and he sort of acts as a sounding board for Sarah and in some ways almost a magnifying glass to show her what she is portraying to sort of the world and giving her a good self, you know, a look at herself for that.
Have any of you seen this play produced before?
I have not, no.
You have to?
Yes, I have.
So I'm curious what conversations you heard afterwards, because we made a point earlier, it's designed to initiate thoughts and conversation. So when you were there, what did you experience?
I actually saw it many years ago when the St. Louis Rep put it on here, and I remember being myself and my husband strongly impacted by just the message and the sheer depth of what is brought out in this play. And what I remember in the theater was a lot of uncomfortable moving around at certain points where you would hear, you know, audience doing things and moving. And I also remember a lot of silence that would come up, especially after Act 2, Scene 3, which is a very big moment in the play.
So did you have a conversation with anyone afterwards or on the ride home with your husband?
I remember my husband and I going and having coffee afterwards and having a very long conversation. We were newly married when we saw this, and it brought up a lot of discussion about how we had been raised, what we thought about what we'd seen, what we experience when we see others that are not like ourselves.
And that was a good discussion.
It was a very good discussion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, John and Jenny, are there any scenes that were hard for you to get through at first that meant something emotionally to you, or I don't know, you know where I'm going?
I do know where you're going, Steve. Absolutely. There are a couple moments, especially for the character of Sarah, where she says things that we know that should not come out of our mouths if we are liberal, open-minded people, and she says them anyway. And there are some ugly things that come out of Sarah's mouth, and it was very hard at first to separate myself from that.
What about for you, John?
Well, there's a whole lot about Burton Strauss that I do not like, so it's always difficult to play a character that you have a difficult time trying to identify with, to find something that you can latch on to respect in him and show another side. And I hope I've found some of that.
I think I can relate to you totally, because once a long time ago I played Carl Lindner.
Oh.
And now my mind just
– Yes.
my mind went blank too, and I know what you're saying.
Well, but I do know.
We'll get back to it.
Yes. Yes.
Let me remind people that Inside Theater Company, A Raisin in the Sun, thank you.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. There you go.
Gosh, I should have been more prepared. Anyway, yes. It's the same exact kind of character. I was playing somebody that I did not want to be.
Right. But if you find something in the character that you can maybe find a good side, and I think there are parts of Burton that are sincere, and there are times when he tries to ease the situation. And his relationship with Dean Kenny, played by Aaron Kelly, who is also an important character in the play.
What's the positive from this, Jenny, as you see it?
The positive is that it doesn't end in disaster. I think it ends with a looking to the future to make ourselves better, you know. It's very personal, and I think that it's worth thinking about how we feel about each other in this world.
There's a lovely line that Ross gives in the play where he says, you know, I think inherent in what you're saying is hope. Mm-hmm.
Inside Theater Company presents Rebecca Gilman's Spinning Into Butter, opening next Thursday, running through September the 13th. That's going to be at the Nerinx Hall at the Hagney Theater on Lockwood and Webster Groves. If you'd like more information about dates and showtimes and tickets, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape and you can find out more. And, you know, it just seems to me that when I'm thinking about the audience and how they react, and this play is designed to make people talk and maybe reevaluate the way they think, that nobody wants to be told how to feel about any kind of issue, but one's feelings can change maybe if they're approached in the right way.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we're hoping with this play.
Mm-hmm. And there are going to be some talkbacks.
There are. On Sundays after the matinees, we will be having talkbacks, and they are presented, so it'll be around 4 o'clock probably those days. Mary D. Schmidt will be with us, and Tabari Coleman will be with us.
Spinning Into Butter. Go to our website to find out more. We've been talking with director Trish Brown and actors John Contini and Jenny Ryan. Thank you all for being here so much and Break a Leg and all that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here's some of the stories that our newsroom is following today. The St. Louis Police Department released an autopsy today that shows that an 18-year-old who was shot and killed by an officer this week died from a single gunshot wound to the back. Police Chief Sam Dotson told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that the location of the wound neither proves nor disproves two officers' accounts that the teenager pointed a gun at them before they shot him Wednesday. Steelworkers will rally this afternoon in Granite City. Members of United Steelworkers Locals 50, 68, and 1899 are in contract negotiations with U.S. Steel. Their current pact expires on September the 1st, and union officials say they're preparing for a lockout or a possible strike. And University of Missouri-Columbia graduate students are considering walking out of classes next week. That's because they found out the university would stop providing health insurance subsidies to avoid possible penalties from the IRS. Some departments across the campus are siding with the students. And join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Coming up next on Cityscape, Union Avenue Opera's new production, and later, a watercolor trip to St. Louis's past. This is St. Louis Public Radio.